We begin this morning with breaking news out of Topeka, and that's the big state Supreme Court ruling that just came down more than an hour ago. The court did order lawmakers now meeting in the state capitol to increase funding to help poorer districts. The price tag on that change, about $130 million, but hundreds of millions of dollars more in school spending appears to be in the offing. The Supreme Court ordered a lower court to promptly determine what an adequate amount of funding should be. No deadline for a hearing was set, but that's where the big bucks could be, because that same lower court last year ordered hundreds of millions of dollars more to be spent on our public schools. With us now to talk about this and analyze it for us is Burdette Loomis. He's a professor of political science over at the University of Kansas. And Bird, as always, thanks for joining us on such short notice here this morning.
Good to be here, Steve.
Well, Bird, I'm trying to do a crash course here on Gannon versus State of Kansas. That's the school funding case that we're talking about here. As I read this, it looks likely to me that we are, in fact, talking about hundreds of millions of dollars more that will be ordered to be spent on our schools. Are you reading it that way, too?
I think I was a little surprised that you were quite so blunt in your opening. I think it's a pretty complex case, and mm-hmm. I certainly am not a legal expert, and really haven't, nor has anyone, had the chance to go over it completely. But I think the outlines are right, that it is getting kicked back. On the other hand, the standards that they're used also need to be reinterpreted. You can't go work on those cost standards again. So I think there are a lot of things up in the air. I think the immediate thing up in the air is what the legislature is going to do. Mm-hmm. It could fund this $130 million. It could do nothing and just kick it down the line, and which would be politically perhaps dangerous. Or it could embark upon some partial funding, saying it was going to, it's moving on this issue, and that it will take some time. I'm not sure what will happen, to tell you the truth. This is a legislature that has explicitly said through its leadership that it would not fund more for schools if a decision was handed down. I think this gives them some wiggle room. I think they can talk about defining funding, things of that nature. On the other hand, the court certainly has ordered some extra funding and opened the door for lots more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're in for a lot of maneuvering in Topeka over the last few months of the legislative session.
You know, Bird, what do you make of the fact that the court has ordered this, has come up with this fairly complex ruling that seems to have several moving parts? Just a few years ago, the same court, with several members of the current court sitting just a few years ago, they came out and said, hey, you've got to spend hundreds of millions of dollars more. Now, fast forward 7 years, and you have a ruling that seems more complicated and a little more convoluted. Why?
I do think it's an extraordinarily difficult issue. You're farther and farther away from the cost studies that were pretty much flawed to begin with. And so I think there's some recognition here that these issues are complicated. I also think that it's important to see that this is a unanimous decision.
Yes.
I see the court as defending itself here against the legislature and, frankly, against the governor, and saying, look, we are united on this across political boundaries, across ideologies. We are totally united, at least on this $130 million, and we're going to send the other back for some greater interpretation. So in some ways, I think you can see this as, from the court's perspective, as a political ruling.
You know, one other thing, a decision that was clearly addressed here, and it struck me as very interesting, Bird, given the rhetoric in Topeka in recent years, the court rejects the state's argument, the Brownback administration's argument, that the court had no authority to decide this case, whether the legislature had underfunded K through 12 education, based on this idea that it was a purely a political question rather than a constitutional mandate. The court saying, we have standing here to order this. That decision we're deciding clearly here today.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Steve. And I think there are two implications there. The first implication is that you might well see constitutional amendment that would change the wording That's certainly a possibility. The second is that kind of shot back at the governor, and that's what it is, after he basically targeted the Supreme Court in his State of the State address, I think that argues again for a potential constitutional amendment that would change the way Kansas selects Supreme Court justices. Hmm. So there are – not only are there policy implications here, but there are political ones. And I'd say there's one more. I think that this – issue gets infused even more so into the gubernatorial campaign.
Right.
And how that
exactly
plays
out. That was my next question. You bet.
Yeah. How exactly that plays out, I'm not sure. You can see Paul Davis arguing consistently for greater educational funding, arguing against the tax cuts, while Sam Brownback says we funded education well and I want to go through all-day kindergarten for everyone. So, again, this one ruling produces just a host of storylines.
And, Bert, maybe just a final point here. One thing that does strike me about this as we talk about it is the level of turmoil here, the level of uncertainty, so many moving parts. You know, how will voters react to all this turmoil going into the August primary, the November general election? Because traditionally, voters aren't typically crazy about turmoil.
No, they're not. And I think that incumbents don't like turmoil as well. I think it has pretty much limited impact on primaries. But I think at the general election level, if something isn't pretty well resolved, I think that you look at polling of Kansans, they want schools fully funded, whatever that means. And that's unclear. But for most citizens, it's something that is a general desire. Hmm. And so I think that you throw that into the mix, and again, you're going to have different stories told about what fully funding education means. But the court here has made it more explicit of what the terms are, and I think that winds right back into November.
Well, Burdette Loomis, a KU political scientist. Bert, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
I want to bring on two state lawmakers now, State Representative Melissa Rooker. She's a Republican from Fairway, and Kansas State Representative Scott Schwab. He's a Republican from Olathe. Thank you both for taking some time with us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
Representative Rooker, let's begin with you. What's the feedback you're getting from your colleagues this morning, from your constituents? What are you hearing about how the legislature might respond to this very complex ruling from the state Supreme Court?
Well, it's an hour and a half old, and I've actually been at my computer reading the ruling this morning. So
good for you.
I haven't had a lot of opportunity to hear that feedback just yet. I think that we need to take a breath. We need to very carefully interpret what is going on here before we jump into conclusions about what this means in the long term. I think this is a very interesting opinion. It provides a roadmap. It does not dictate what we need to do. It merely lays out some ground rules for how we proceed to take care of our business
right.
as the legislative body. And I think it provides a good opportunity for us to step back and move away from the rhetoric and start dealing with the issues.
Hmm.
So the portion of the case that speaks to the improvement that the Constitution calls for in our schools, that, you know, this is a system that is not meant to be static or regressive,
mm-hmm.
but continually advances. I think that's important. It points the way to the factors that we should be looking at, not the cost studies, but the educational
right.
factors that outline and are accepted in large bodies of
right. Let me bring on Representative Scott Schwab. Scott, one thing that the court did rule definitively this morning was $130 million more for poorer districts around the state, including the one in Kansas City, Kansas. How likely is it from your vantage point, Scott, that lawmakers will go along and improve that increase in funding as the court's ordered by July 1st?
Well,
Well, the court didn't necessarily say you had to fund it. They said either fund it or change the way you write the statute for it to be funded. And this was a Parkinson policy that when he cut, when he spent, he didn't completely fund the capital outlay act equalization. And the legislature and the governor has just carried that policy on as, of course, this case has made its way through the court. Mm-hmm. So either they're saying either fund what you say you're going to fund or change the statute and do it a different way. And so we have options on the table. And this is why it's a political decision, because they could say just fund it. We say, well, okay, wait a minute. We have to consider that with what we fund the courts, what we fund social services,
right,
what we fund legislature. And going back to the decision about it being a political decision, it does get dicey when they say it is, because when they do that, the court opens up to anybody in the Constitution that the court has to be funded. Well, now they're saying the court can sue the legislature because it's not a political decision. The Constitution says it has to be funded. Hmm.
Scott, how responsible?
That's a broad door they opened up.
Scott, how responsible of a ruling is this, again, from your viewpoint?
Well, it's coming from the Kansas Supreme Court that I disagree with Burnett Loomis had said a spectrum of ideology. This court thinks very much alike. And I don't know. I think the most irresponsible part was saying that it is not a political decision. They don't do committee hearings to find out what schools' needs are.
Mm-hmm.
They're just in there listening to witnesses testify to one thing or another. They don't know if there's an update for a computer system that needs to happen. That's a political decision. So I think that's pretty broad, but they're just trying to hang on to their authority, which doesn't exactly make the legislature want to work with them more, because we got to answer that question before we answer the next question, is how do we adequately fund our schools?
Yeah.
So, you know, because otherwise it's just going to constantly be sued, brought back to the legislature,
right,
and it's no longer going to be a legislative question. It's always going to be a court decision, and the Supreme Court will always be funding our schools, and that's not a pathway anybody wants to go down.
Hmm. Representative Rooker, how likely is it ultimately that we'll see hundreds of millions of dollars more spent on public schools in the wake of this ruling? Again, this morning, the Supreme Court has ordered a lower court to promptly determine what an adequate amount of funding should be. Where do you think we're headed here?
Well, I will be working towards an equitable outcome for our schools. I've long believed that the funding that is currently being appropriated it falls short of what's needed in today's economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest to you that we ought to be looking very carefully at the guidance that the court has provided instead of choosing adversarial corners to come at this from. We ought to be looking at the roadmap that has been presented to us, and we ought to be putting the needs of the students in our schools in Kansas in the 21st century at the forefront. And so I will be working very hard to see that we don't assume political, rhetorical positions mm-hmm. when arguing against compliance. I think we ought to be looking at the opportunity that is in front of us to rise to the occasion and let cooler heads prevail and deal with the facts on hand.
Representative Melissa Rooker and Scott Schwab, thank you both again for your time today. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day, Steve.
You too, guys. And finally today, I want to bring on Kansas City, Kansas School Superintendent Cynthia Lane. And Superintendent, always good to have you too. Good morning.
Great to be here, Steve. Good morning to you.
The court has ordered $130 million more to be spent on poor districts, or as Scott Schwab just said, to recalibrate the formula used to dictate how much money goes to poor districts like yours. What's your takeaway from this ruling today? Do you expect it to help your district or not?
My takeaway is celebration for kids in Kansas. I think the ruling says that educating all children, no matter where you live, no matter what resources you have access to, is important and should be a priority of our state government.
We are
pleased with that.
Are you expecting then ultimately that hundreds of millions of dollars more will be coming down the pike?
what we're expecting is an honest and open conversation about what we want from Kansas schools and how do we prepare our kids for college and careers. And I think that the courts have said this is the opportunity for us as Kansans to really decide what that means and to talk honestly about how to fund that.
Did you expect a more definitive ruling today as opposed to one that sends, you know, part of the case back to the lower court and leaves other issues to lawmakers? Or are you satisfied with what the court said today?
You know, we're real grateful to the Supreme Court that they recognize that communities have various access to different resources and that the state has a responsibility to equitably fund education for all kids. And we're hopeful to see what happens in the lower court, that they can truly, as Representative Rooker said, provide us guidance so we have a roadmap to make these decisions. One of the things that I think the decision says is that there is a need for a plan and guidance and standards on how to make decisions, and it should not just rest on what kinds of revenues we want to allocate to schools.
At the same time, though, that argument has been pitching around Topeka for years, Superintendent Lane, this notion of do you fund schools with the money you have available or do you fund them based on some set of standards that have been laid out? Is there anything really new here on that front?
Well, the standards have been in the law, and we know as educators what it is that our leaders have said that we need to achieve. So you're right. That's been going on for years. But what we need to decide as Kansans is where is education in our priority? You know, and I grew up in Kansas, and I always think of family, faith, and education and community as being the core values, the reasons that we live in Kansas. So I think we have a great opportunity to revisit that. Do we believe in education for all kids? And if so, it should be funded as if it is our priority.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Superintendent Lane, always good to have you. Thanks for explaining that to us, and we sure appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Steve.
You bet.